Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Luke chapter 16. We finished up Luke chapter 15 last week, and you remember Luke chapter 15, a chapter with three parables that Jesus told, the parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, parable of the lost son. And the stories or the parables that Jesus told have many truths, but he told them to get one main truth across. And so as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, the first two, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin, the main truth in those parables was the love that God has for sinners. The last one, the parable of the lost son, has many truths in it, but the main truth, the truth that Jesus was trying to get across to the scribes and the Pharisees, who, by the way, he told all three of these parables to, he said, hey, you feel about lost sinners like the older brother felt about his younger brother. You don't think about lost sinners like God does, and you need to. You need to. Now, in Luke chapter 16, and we're going to try to do the first 13 verses tonight, Jesus tells another parable. Some call it the parable of the unjust steward, which is an apt description because he was a steward, and we'll talk about what a steward, remind you what a steward is in just a second, but he was certainly unjust. He did not treat his master well. But you could just as aptly call it the shrewd steward. The shrewd steward. And you'll see what I mean in just a second if you're not familiar with this parable. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, notice, as opposed to in chapter 16, where Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, in this chapter, at least in these first 13 verses, he's talking to his disciples. And he's going to tell them a story, again, to make a point. He said there was a certain rich man that had a steward. Now, a steward was a slave that, because of his good performance, had been promoted to the household manager. He was responsible for managing the goods of his master. And so this man was accused of wasting his master's goods. That word accused means slander by gossip. And so something must have come to the ears of this master, of the owner of this slave, that he as a steward was wasting his master's goods. Verse 2, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So he must have believed the gossip, and he may have investigated after he heard it. There were some masters, for example, Potiphar made Joseph, who was his slave, the steward of his house. And the Bible says that after a while, he didn't even remember what he had. Now, we don't know about what the master in this story, if that was the same case, same situation. He turned everything over to his steward and wasn't keeping track of it anymore. And so when he heard this accusation come to his ears, he might have had to check it out. He called his steward in and said, how come I hear this report? It probably was his fellow servants or fellow slaves that were talking. Why do I hear them whispering and saying, gossiping, so to speak, that you're wasting my goods? I want you to give an account of your stewardship. In other words, I want a report. I want to know, you know, what I've got, what you've done with it, how much we've made, all the things that somebody that, you know, was keeping track of his goods would want to know. And perhaps the master had already come to a conclusion. He said, I know what the report's going to show because I've checked it out. And so he says, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Word mayest says that maybe he still has a chance based on what he says, but his position was in jeopardy. He was about to be fired. Verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? Now, we can take from that, he knew he was guilty. What shall I do? I'm going to lose my position, for my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. And so he says, well, I know how the report's going to come out. I know I'm going to lose my job. What am I going to do? I don't have enough physical strength to go out and dig. I don't have enough physical strength to go out and work. My pride would keep me from being a beggar, So what am I going to do? So he says in verse 4, I am resolved what to do. In other words, I know what to do. I've figured it out. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. He says, I know I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to be put out of being a steward. I have a plan. I know what I'm going to do. And so he remembered all the people that were in debt to his master. And here's what he says. He says, I'm going to call them in. I'm going to make a deal with them so that when I'm fired, they'll be obligated to me and they'll help me make a living. In fact, maybe I can go be one of their servants. Maybe I can be a steward to one of them. Of course, I don't know who would hire him after the deal he's going to make. But look at the deal he makes. Look at verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and set down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. So notice, he called all the people that owed his master money or commodities, you know, oil and wheat. He called them in. He says, hey, I want to make a deal with you. See, the first one came in and said, how much do you owe? He said, well, I owe 100 measures of oil. He said, hey, take the bill and quick, sit down quickly. You got to do it quick because I may be fired before, you know, the day's over. Take your bill, cut it in half. Write down 50. The second one came in and said, how much do you owe? Well, I owe 100 measures of wheat. Now, maybe it was because he didn't know how much they owed that he was losing his job. I mean, if you gave your possessions or turned the management of your assets over to somebody else, you would expect them to know how much you have and if anybody owes you anything. And maybe the fact that he didn't know how much the debtors owed was the reason that he was being fired in the first place. But he said to the second one, okay, you cut your bill by 20%. Sit down and make the bill 80. And again, Jesus doesn't go, as he tells the story, he doesn't go through all the debtors, but he gives us these two examples. But he did use the word all. And so he said, this steward called in everybody that owed money to his master and cut their bill. Some by half, some by 20%, maybe others by even more than half. Again, he was trying to get them obligated to him so that when he got fired, he could find another place to work. He could find a place to live. They would be obligated to him because they've reduced the debt. Now, look at verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. The word Lord means his master. His master commended him, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Now again, he wasn't commending him for stealing from him. That's basically what he was doing when he reduced these people that owed him money, when he reduced their debt. He was stealing from his master. And his master wasn't commending him for that. He was commending him for thinking about his future and making decisions today and making preparations today for his future. He knew he was going to be fired. He was going to need somebody to help him make a living, some place to live. And so he used his stewardship today, the things that he was in charge of today, the debts of his master, to prepare for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And so he was commended by his master. Now, some people think that since Jesus told this story, that Jesus was commending this steward for cheating his master. No, that's not the point of the parable. Jesus was not commending him for his unjust deed. He was commending him, or Jesus was telling the story, and he was going to use the steward as an example to make the same point to his disciples, that they need to be good stewards today to prepare for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And his point was, hey, you have been made a steward of some things today. You better use those things that you've been placed in charge of wisely and get ready for tomorrow. And that's the point of this parable. Notice the last part of verse 8. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. What Jesus was saying, again, as he was talking to his disciples, hey, people like this unjust steward who have been placed in stewardship of worldly goods are, in some cases, a lot wiser than the children of light, my disciples, because they're being good stewards of what they have now, getting ready for tomorrow. And yet, my disciples, my followers, my children, they have been placed in stewardship of things, but they're not using them to get ready for tomorrow. Now, again, you'll see there's a difference about what Jesus was talking about where tomorrow was and what tomorrow means, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But notice what he says in verse 9. And this is Jesus talking. So the parable's over. Now he's starting to make the point. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Now, again, you got to pay attention to that verse to get the point that Jesus is trying to make with this parable. And again, his parables often contains multiple truths, but he told them to make one main truth, and the main truth of this parable is in verse 9. So here's what he's saying. As this shrewd steward that I told you the story about, use the mammon of unrighteousness, in other words, the riches of the world, in an unrighteous manner. He cheated his master, okay? In order to ensure a welcome into the house of those that benefited from his dishonesty, so the followers of Christ should use this mammon, the riches of the world, okay, to ensure that they will be welcomed into heaven. Now here's what Jesus was saying. He's talking to his disciples about their use and attitude of worldly riches. He says the unrighteous use it the way that they do to ensure a future here. You need to make sure that you use it in a way to ensure a future in heaven. Okay, now stay with me. Stay with me for a little bit longer. Not that how we use worldly riches determine if we get into heaven or not. I mean, that's determined by what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ and what in his sacrifice on Calvary. That's how we get to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. But how we, even though how we use worldly riches may not determine if we're saved or not, it may be a sign if we're saved or not. Because if we, like the unrighteous, okay, put too much stock in worldly goods, in other words, if our priorities are in worldly goods to prepare a future for us here, it may be an indication that we're not really saved, because if we're really saved, we know that this world is not our home. We know that everything in this world is going to pass away. And so our attitude and use of worldly goods ought to recognize that, hey, and again, I think God expects us to be good stewards of the blessings that he gives us. But we ought to hold the things of this world loosely. We ought to use them in a way that shows God and shows ourselves, hey, we're not preparing for the future here, we're preparing for the future there. That's why Jesus said on another occasion, don't lay up your treasures down here. People will steal them. They'll rust. Moth will come in and eat them. Lay your treasures up in heaven, because nobody will steal them from there. They don't rust up there. Moths, I'm sure there might be moths in heaven, but they don't eat stuff. They don't eat stuff in heaven. So don't put your treasures down here. Put them up in heaven. Learn from this unjust steward, this steward that stole from his master. He used what he had to make preparations for his future here. You make sure that your attitudes and your use of worldly goods reflect the knowledge that this world's not our home. We're just passing through, and you lay your treasures up in heaven. And again, the Lord in this story, and here's what Jesus was telling his disciples, commended him not for what he did, but why he did it. And he told his disciples, hey, you need to get ready for tomorrow. Again, not here, but up there. All right, look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. A lot of people say, well, I'll wait for a big thing to come along and then I'll do that well. And Jesus said, that's the wrong attitude. Because if you don't do the little things well, you're not going to do the big things well. You prove your faithfulness by how you handle the little things. And then if you prove your faithfulness in the little things, I'll give you an opportunity to handle the big things. And somebody that's not faithful in the little things are not going to be faithful in the big things. If therefore, verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon. In other words, if you haven't handled the things of the world like I want you to handle them. And again, please don't misunderstand me tonight. God knows we have to live in this world, and he's blessed us with material things. And he expects us to be good stewards of them. But our eternity does not rest on the possessions of this world. Our joy does not rest on the things of this world. Our joy rests in Jesus Christ. And again, even though we live in this world and we have to use the things of this world to live, and again, God expects us to do that, don't get too attached to them, because we're not going to take any of them with us. They're going to be left behind. And only the treasures that we send before us into heaven are going to last. And so Jesus said, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? He says, if you're not going to be faithful and handle the things of this world in the way that I want you to, in the way that I've instructed you to in this book, why am I going to give you spiritual things? Why am I going to entrust you with the true riches of life? Okay? And the true riches of life are not things. The true riches of life come from God. Now, I know things come from God, but the true riches of God are not, in most cases, not things. And so Jesus said, look, I'm going to be looking at how you handle the things of this world that I've given you, and I'm going to determine if I'm going to give you the greater things, the richer things, by how you handle the things down here. Verse 12, And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Here's what he said. Now, salvation is our own. What he's saying is, look, if you can't figure out how to handle the things of the world, if you can't figure out how to handle the things of the world, how can I give you what truly should be yours, salvation? Then he makes the point in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus said, look, you can't serve the things of the world and the things of God. You can't. A slave has to have undivided loyalty to his master. You can't do that to two of them. You just can't. You can't have undivided loyalty to the things of the world and at the same time undivided loyalty to God, because they conflict. The things of the world conflict with the things of God. Okay? So you can't serve both. And those words, serve and love, hold to, love and hate, hold to and despise, they imply a choice. Jesus says you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice whether you're going to serve me or serve the world. You can't serve both. You've got to decide. And again, he was talking to his disciples. He wasn't talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He was talking to his disciples. And you might think, what, this is a different kind of story, different kind of parable that Jesus told. But again, the point he was trying to make is, hey, look, I've made you stewards here. Use the things that I've given you and put under your stewardship to prepare for the future. Not the future here, because your future's not here. Your future's in heaven. That's the thing. That's what you need to be being. That's what you need to make preparations for. All right, out of time. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. When we get done, the men will be praying over here. Ladies will be praying over here. You're welcome to join either group. But let's stand together, have a word of prayer, be dismissed.